All right, let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 23. It's just been a good week, hasn't it? I have pondered, I don't know if you could summarize the experience that you could have at a place like this. I guess we would all come up with a different word or phrase. But the thing that seems to surface in my heart is this matter of oneness. There's a oneness in spirit.
Yes, sir.
Whether it's in preaching or whether it's in singing, nobody comes to put somebody down. We're not fighting amongst ourselves. There's just one spirit, and that's uplifting Christ on every level. And I'd like to say to you, and especially to these young people, the Lord has opened many doors. We're in 60, 70 churches a year. Done that for years. And I'm glad to report to you that 99.9% of all the preachers that I have associated with, I believe, are men of God and of integrity and love for God and wanting to serve Him. Ain't that a blessing? And to be able to come from all of our different places, perspectives, where God's put us, and come together in a oneness is a special thing. And I am privileged to be a part of it. I thank His name. Thank the Lord for it. And it is good. Brother Jamie said this is a great morning for him. His son preached, his granddaughter sang. And that's a great morning. And my nephew preached. Now, he'll out-preach me, but he'll never be as good looking. That's the... But that is a miracle. Quit laughing, Charles. And then the grand young'uns singing, and Jackie's boys. That's just a wonderful time for us. We praise His name. And then... I know it means something to you, but it really means something to me to be able to come and sit at Brother Larry's feet again.
Yes, sir.
I wish I could take you back in time when he was 26 and I was 19, 20. And, boy, the tapes just roll in my mind of those times. And he put a fire in me.
Amen.
For preaching. I've always embrace the Word of God, but I didn't always know you could know it and preach it with fire. And He preaches a pure gospel as any man will ever preach. But He preaches it with fire. And I have been privileged as a young man to sit under that. As a matter of fact, he's the one that married me and my wife. And I forgave him for it many years ago. But It is a great privilege to be able to be here for that. Appreciate Brother Steve. What a blessing he is. I don't know if that's ever happened before. I not since I've been coming in 20 years to where, like, and that's where I get that oneness from, is like the whole tabernacle became one church and lined up and let Brother Steve know what a blessing that he was to them. And boy, that was something. And what a blessing it was to me, and I praise the Lord for it. Thank God for this family and how the Lord has raised them up and used them in such a mighty way. And you see His kids and grandkids, they're doing something all the time around the clock so that we can enjoy this meeting. And I want to say thank you to them and to everybody that's involved in the kitchen, the cooking, the cleaning, and raising these doors and shutting them down at night when everybody else is gone. Just so much involved. I'd like to say thank you. Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm going to preach. How was that? I'm going to preach short so I can preach again or something like that. Though I am not in Luke, preach fast. Hey, preach again. I always preach short. At 5'7" and 3/4", you can't preach no other way. So that's a Has anybody else got a sermon this morning? It's obvious I ain't got one. I'm peddling around waiting on the spirits when I'm doing. Yeah, I'd rather just back it up and sing and shout some more. But though I'm not looking at Luke 15, the thought is still the same. I'm thinking about the one more. And as Jesus illustrated in that parable, the emphasis to the Pharisees is that there's one more. And as long as the church is in this world, let us realize that there's one more out there that he wants to save by grace. But if they make it home, they're going to have to be embraced with love. Somebody's going to have to love. The only people in this world that know anything about the love of God is you and me. He shed it abroad in our hearts, and we are to allow him to express his love through us for the one more that would come. As we emphasized yesterday, as he put the boy on the spinning wheel of enough, actually what he's doing is he's getting him to where he can turn the light on. When he gets back home, he not only finds love, he finds light. Yeah. And if this old world ever needed light, it needs light now. Yes, but you and I are the light of the world. Yes, he has put the light in you, and he's put the light in me. He's not here physically to love. He's not here physically to shine the light, but he's left the light. And we are to be the light to the one more that comes. One more by love, one more by light. But I want us to look here in these verses, and I want to preach on the one more by life. One more by life. And I'm dealing with the birth of faith that is given here. The one more that comes as a result of someone else's faith. The truth of the matter is if someone believes God tomorrow, you and I are going to have to live by faith today. Because this is a faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And we got to keep on delivering it. And Jesus said, when I come back, is there going to be faith on the earth? Well, it depends on what we do with it. And yes, we are to keep the faith, but we are to deliver the faith. Amen. And what we're going to look at is the effects and the effects of Amram and Jochebed. Yes, sir. And their faith on Moses and how it has reached down even to you and I in this hour and on this day. I was thinking about being in the doctor's office many years ago, chiropractor. He had a picture of his family on the desk, and I was looking at it. He had probably 8 children in that photo. He, his wife, and then stair steps, starting at probably about 18 to 20 years old and coming on down to about 10 years old. And then there was one left who looked like he might be 2 years old. It looked kind of odd. It was intriguing to see all of those in order as if they were planned and then a mistake. And so I asked him, I said, what happened? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, all of the stair steps and then the 2 or 3 year old. He said, well, preacher, I was working one day, closed up the office, went home, said I went in. Said my wife turned and looked at me and she said, one's missing. He said, one what? She said, one youngin'. He said, I turned around, and they was all wadded up, laying around on the couch, and some eating, some watching TV, and said, I counted them, and I counted all 7 or 8 of them. I said, what are you talking about? They're all here. She said, no, I feel like we're supposed to have one more. And he said, that was the one more. Amen. I'm thinking about Jochebed. I'm thinking about Amram during the days in which they lived under the bondage of Egypt. The king's command has already been sent forth to kill those that are 2 years and under. They've already got 2 children. Yeah. They've got Miriam and they've got Aaron. And it would seem to me that the reasonable thing and the sensible thing would have been to talk this thing over and say, we don't need no more youngins. We've already got 2. We've got the boy and the girl. Besides, if we have another young'un, he's going to be raised in this awful place under the very powers that be. It's going to turn him into slaves. And I'm going to tell you something. There shouldn't have been another son. And there wouldn't have been another son unless he had been born of faith. There was a faith that superseded reason and intellect. And Moses was born, thank God. And are you not glad that there was one more by faith? Thank God for Brother Steve. Thank God for Brother Jamie. Thank God for the preachers and the heroes that were mentioned last night. But this can't be the period and the end of the story. It won't be the end of the story. Because if you live by faith, there's going to be somebody else that's going to believe God. And someone would say, well, I didn't think my faith would have anything to do with anybody else. What did Paul say to Timothy? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. Amen. He said, Timothy, I've seen your faith before. I saw it in your mama and in your grandma. But can I report to you, there's not 2 faiths. They're not several faiths. We're not talking about denominations. There was only one faith delivered unto the saints, thank God. And it is that faith that we've got to live in our hour that lives through us. That as we share the word of that faith, that it'll be birthed in some sinner's heart and they by faith will believe and live that faith and it'll show up in the generations to come. The birthing of faith. And if God ever does anything, he births it. He doesn't do anything without a birth. That's proven here this morning. The fact that you're here physically, you've been born. But if you are a child of God spiritually, you've been born. He births everything he does. And it is here that he has birthed through their faith a son that will be raised in faith and that also will live by faith. 3 things I want to say to you in this fast sermon about this one more by faith, but understand the impact of it is you and I are going to have to live this faith if anybody else is going to believe. If your children are going to believe God, you're going to have to live by faith. going to have to live by faith. The first thing that I want to emphasize, I guess it'd be all right if I read the text, wouldn't it? I hadn't read one yet. I guess you just have to believe me. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Why? How? By faith. Because they saw he was a proper child.
Amen.
We'll point that out here after a while, what they saw in this boy. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, why wasn't they afraid? It was their faith. Verse 24, now, look what happened. By faith, Moses.
Yes, sir.
That's a different person, but the same ingredient.
Amen.
It's faith. When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, why did he refuse? Same reason that his mom and daddy had him. And wasn't afraid. By faith.
Amen.
Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How come? By faith. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Amen.
You say, who was that? Well, he's done told us who it was in verse 26. It was Christ. Well, how in the world did he know who he was? Look in verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, verse 29, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Now why were they drowned? They didn't have no faith.
That's right.
Three things that I want to say to you concerning this matter of the one more by faith. And thank God I'm glad there's a coming in this direction. One more.
Yes.
That's going to believe God.
Amen.
But the reason why they're going to believe God is because the children of God are living by faith. The first thing that I would emphasize to you is that this one more, Moses, allows Jochebed and Amram to experience their faith. Now, to a lot of folks, faith is a simple term religiously, or maybe it's a denomination. It is a creed of some sort. But the Bible said faith is the substance. What I would like you to understand is her faith one day came alive on her. God gave her a baby. And she began to believe God for that baby. And what she was able to do, her and her husband, for the first time, was experience the faith that God had given them. They had something that had become a reality that was a revelation. Can I say to you that faith is something that is tangible. it will show up in something that is real, something that is active, and something that is alive. Isn't it true in your life and mine that there are those times that God will birth something, and then He will have you to believe Him for what He birthed? She's going to have to believe God for this baby that has been birthed in her life. And somebody said, how do you know that Jochebed and Amram's got faith? Look at the baby. If ain't nothing been born, and there ain't no baby, you ain't got nothing to believe about.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I was born again. And it was through and by faith. But many times since then, as a matter of fact, what I am doing right now was not a choice of mine. It was not an idea. But it is something that became real and physical. It took it out of the abstract, and I could touch it and believe God for it. And in all of His children's lives, there'll come that day when He will birth something in your life to where you will spend the rest of your days believing Him, and you'll know you've got faith because you got something that's got some substance.
Amen.
That is alive.
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it is active.
Yeah.
And what I am doing right now is the experiencing of my faith.
Uh-huh.
Is that He not only saved me and called me to preach, but one day He literally birthed in me this matter of evangelism. And every time I stand and preach the Word of God, I'm carrying my baby around that I'm having to believe Him for from state to state and sermon to sermon, because it's active. It's got life. It's got breath. It lives on its own. In other words, she received Moses from God. Moses was her lot in life. And the Lord said, here, I want to give you something that you can exercise your faith with. And you can experience your faith with. And everything that had anything to do with that little old boy, I'm going to tell you, was their experience. Look at him. Look at him. Look at what? Look at him. Look at Moses. It was the experience and the expression and the evidence of faith. There ought to be something alive in your life, that the only reason why it's alive is God birthed a baby and said, here, believe me for this. If you don't believe they've got faith, you better watch out. He'll run over you. I mean, he'll run right, slap through the living room, climb up on the couch, bounce out into the floor. He's alive! I'm glad that faith's not just a term to me, but it's my baby. That's what that hope for dopes, or hope after dope, or whatever you want to call it. I can't, no matter where I see this man, I don't just see him, I see his baby. Talk to him, he talks about his baby. His whole world's wrapped up in his baby. Now you may not be concerned, but it ain't your baby. And honey, he's having to believe God every day. He's for these men that come in. He believes God for the ones that come in. Believes God for those that walk out. Believes God for the money that's going to keep that thing going. Believes God. Why? That's his baby. He ain't too upset if you're not overcome with his baby. It ain't your baby. They get to experience their faith. Look at here. They called me the other day and asked me to come preach.
Hallelujah.
Lord's already given me a baby. I'm going to preach. Say, what are you doing? I'm delivering my baby every time I preach.
Amen.
It's real. It's real. If you did you have any problem listening to this young man right here preach and understand that been a birth? She's experienced, it's alive. Just bounces around on the inside. My wife says to me often, she does all the driving. Backs that thing in, I mean, does it all. She's my baby too. I mean, she's, huh? She'll say, well, how come you ain't talking? I mean, we ride all these miles, you don't talk. I said, the reason why I ain't is because I'm working with my baby. I'm over in Genesis somewhere. My baby's kicking right now. Excuse me, I can't help it. My baby's crying out in me. I'm getting ready. It's almost time. The baby's moving. By faith, the Bible said, Moses, when he was born, that was the exercise they got to, for the first time, they got to experience and hold their baby.
Amen.
Don't talk to me about an old dead Toys R Us doll laying around somewhere at the house. I'm not even interested in seeing it. Unless it's your baby, it shows it to me. How precious. If you ain't got one of these somewhere, you may not even have any faith. It's alive. It's active. Went to Ireland last year. Went to Ireland. And the only reason why we did is my wife had wanted to see a leprechaun. We got over there and by definition found out she'd been married to one 43 years. They said all a leprechaun is a short, fat fella that loves to aggravate. She said, I got one of them. He just ain't got a pot of gold. I just throw that out there. I better hurry on the word of the Lord. Woo! I'm glad for the baby. Can you imagine just using the term faith? If a Moses had never been born, they'd have talked about faith. They wouldn't have known nothing about it. Because they hadn't ever had to express it and feel it and believe God for it. I said to her, what do you do all them secret hours when you're not present? She said, well, I'm trying to get a little ark together, a box. So I got a baby. I'm going to put in it and turn it loose. And believe God, he'll take care of my baby. Don't go talking to her about dead religion. Don't ask her what church she's a member of. You won't have no what problem finding out where she's at with God.
Right.
She's got a baby.
That's right.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. I love to come here to hear these preachers preach because every one of them gets up, and what you don't know is they're delivering their baby. They just had a baby on you. Alive. But now I want to go to that. The scripture said there that he was a proper child. They saw he was a proper child. In other words, they believe God sent this baby. But here's what I want you to see. They're not only able to experience something alive, they're able to experience something divine. This ain't just no ordinary baby. I was interested over there in the book of Acts, chapter number 7, when Stephen was talking about the history of Moses being born. He said that they saw he was exceeding fair. I looked that word up, exceeding. You can go and get your Strong's Concordance out and look it up. It'll say the same thing to you as it's saying to me, said to me, and I was shocked. Did you know that word exceeding is the word theos? Theos is in the Bible over 1,300 times. The verse, for God so loved the world. The word God there is theos. They looked at the baby. I'm going to tell you. And what they did when they looked at the baby, they said, God. Theos. Now they wasn't saying that Moses was God. But when they looked by faith at that boy, they saw God every time they looked at him. They said, God. Honey, when something's alive and something's active in your life that you got no explanation for, and there ain't nothing humanly that can explain it, and the only thing you can do is stand back and look at it and say, God, Theos, you got some faith. Well, what else would you say when you looked at Moses? When he had that rod and throwed it down on the ground and turned into a snake? You wouldn't say Baptist. You look at that, you'd say, God. Huh? When he takes that rod and he smites, I tell you, the waters of the Red Sea, and they split left and right. You look at that and you'd have to say, they'd only one word. God! When he calls down those plagues, I'm going to tell you, on the land, every time you looked at Moses, you just had to say, Theos! Honey, when God bursts something into your life, you know that God's birthed it, and you know you're experiencing that faith. When you look at it and you say, oh, God, Theos! Tell you how many times in the 20 years I've been in evangelism, I just had to say Theos. I don't like going to these meetings where they have to sing 109 stanzas of Just As I Am to get somebody to do something. I'd rather preach the deadest, driest sermon ever was and leave out of there with no movement at all than to put my hands on it. Esther would tell me sometimes after service, she said, what's wrong with you? You didn't even... I said, well, I didn't have nothing. I didn't say nothing. Said as little as I could and got out of the saddle. I'd rather do that than to think that the reason why that thing happened is because I played it up. But honey, I love to be in a meeting like we've been in this week, that the only way you could explain what happened last night is you just have to say, Theos! How many times have we said that this week? Theos! Every time they looked at that boy, they said, Theos! Jackie, he loves on me and tells me how he appreciates me, but I'll tell you, every time I look at that boy, I say, Theos. Only God could do that. Well, the Lord gave Moses to Jochebed and Amram. They got to experience their faith. But that's not only true with them. He gave Noah a boat by faith. And that boat was the exercising and experiencing of his faith. His theos. You know, they tell us that one out of three people in America is ugly anyway. If you look to the person on your right, they ain't ugly. Look to the person on your left, they ain't ugly. I don't know what to tell you. But when they looked at Moses, they said, there's only one word for this boy. It's theos. Well, that's a third of a sermon. I'm done. Come ahead.